team by team, one big question about every quarterback room. That's the type of thing we do for fun around here. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We absolutely love it. Manny, hit the music.
It's great for the NFL that you have great quarterback play.
Finding the right quarterback can change your franchise forever.
Can you throw it like a quarterback third in a lot?
32 teams, each with just one signal caller.
It's my quarterback.
Maggie and Perloff answer one big question about the quarterback.
All right, Pearl, yesterday was Tua Tagovailoa. Asked the question, would the Dolphins be better off with a bounce back year from Tua or a terrible year from Tua, and then they move on and get a new quarterback? That was yesterday's news. Today's news, EJ's New York Jets. Justin Fields getting a lot of praise after he dodged what looked like something very serious with his toe. It looks like that's not going to be an issue. He's going to be full go and ready for, you know, the rest of training camp in week one. And so sigh of relief from the Jets fans. The big question that we're asking today, will Justin Fields have a more successful stint in New York than Aaron Rodgers?
Oh my God. I mean, yes, by definition, he could go 0-17 and be more successful than Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers had all these expectations. Justin Fields has zero expectations. He's on the hook for no money. Like how, I don't know. There's no scenario where Justin Fields has a worse stint than Aaron Rodgers.
Well, it is the Jets, so every time you think it can't get worse, somehow it does. Yeah, just hold my beer. If you're talking about wins and losses, if that's how you would want to define this, it's not going to be that high of a bar to clear. Rodgers technically went 1-0 the first season. He got hurt four snaps into the game. Zach Wilson came in and cleaned up, and they beat my Buffalo Bills.
So that's a very technical 1-0, Maggie.
A shocking loss.
You're giving him a W on the game where he ran out with the flag and tore his Achilles? Okay.
Okay, so for real, he was coming off an Achilles last year, and he went 5-12. You know, he definitely didn't look like himself. You know, as far as more successful, you know, to me, and until proven otherwise, Justin Fields will feel like a stopgap, will feel like a bridge. Now, I don't know if he's going to play well enough that maybe he plays better than that. And maybe there's a real question, like there was at one point when he was still in Chicago, about whether the Bears should have stayed with Fields or taken Caleb Williams number one overall. That was a real debate that was going on. So can Justin Fields play well enough in New York where even if the Jets are in position to draft a quarterback next year, they don't do it because Fields has looked so good?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. So he has a new offensive coordinator, Tanner Engstrand, who's from Detroit, who's playing with a statue with Jared Goff.
Yeah.
But I think that the key to Justin Fields is going to be his mobility. Get him on the move. I think run a conservative, run-based offense. I think it's very promising in the sense that I think he fits where they are as a team now, because what's a Jets superpower is their defense, right? Justin Fields can win games without having to throw the ball 45 times like he did at Ohio State. So I think he could fit a certain mold here of a quarterback. And I definitely think he could put up some W's. I'm not sure why everyone is like, I'm looking at the win totals. Like, nobody thinks the Jets are going to win any games, but you can win. Justin Fields won in Chicago. That's the amazing thing.
Did he
win four of his last five games there? So I think that, like, or something like that, he was definitely effective. So I don't think he has to have like all-star numbers to be good there. I'm not sure. The original question, the thing about Rodgers was Rodgers needed to come out and have a Pro Bowl type quarterback season. Fields has no expectations. So I think he has a good chance to really exceed those low expectations.
Yeah, this is maybe the best situation that a Jets quarterback has come into in quite some time. Because even when Rodgers came in and the expectations were huge, Super Bowl, AFC Championship game, wherever you were putting it, there was also some serious questions about the coach. We have not had a chance at all to see whether Aaron Glenn is going to be a great head coach or he's going to be a terrible head coach. So that's all a blank slate. Robert Saleh felt like was already kind of on the hot seat a little bit because of, you know, the good defense, but it was terrible developing Zach Wilson. And everyone, the GM ends up getting fired. You know, this is all runway, no pun intended, for the Jets. It seems like things are clear. They got contracts done with Garrett Wilson and with Sauce Gardner, two promising young guys, and nobody's looking at them. You know, Rodgers came in, they're doing Hard Knocks.
Yep.
Now, the other thing about the Jets, though, that will always give you pause whether Justin Fields is under center or whether Tom Brady could have been under center is the owner. I mean, he always finds a way to be part of the story or be a headline, a negative headline in some way. So can Woody Johnson just stay on the back burner?
Yeah, I mean, here's a question. Can he do damage now? He feels like more of a February, March damage guy. I feel like the die has been cast. I will tell you one thing. You're seeing highlights of Fields after the toe injury. I mean, he looks great. Yeah. And if you forget how big and mobile, and when he throws the ball, it's gorgeous. Like, he's got all the tools. I feel like it's, as you kind of just said, nothing but upside situation. And he fits, I think, what Aaron Glenn wants. Aaron Glenn, unlike Detroit, I don't think he wants to have a high octane offense. I feel like he's a defensive coordinator, I hate to say it, who's going to want to win like Mike Tomlin, defensive guy where he beats you 20-13, not 35-31.
Yeah, maybe it's a little walk before you can run, but you do have Garrett Wilson, who's a huge weapon. You have Breece Hall, who everyone was taking number one in their fantasy drafts not that long ago. You know, I think it will be more successful on paper as far as wins and losses than Aaron Rodgers. No doubt about that.
Now, I mean, by the way, it's Garrett Wilson, but his number two receiver is Josh Reynolds, right?
So the one thing that I worry about with Aaron Glenn.
Yeah.
The one thing I worried about.
One thing?
Well, a couple things. First, we've never seen him coach.
Okay.
Coaching in New York is really hard. Coaching with the Jets is basically a death sentence.
Yeah, what I was about to say. First, I don't care about any of that. He's the Jets coach. Yeah. There should be a... That's your number one, number two, and number three concern.
Yeah, I mean, he was a former Jets player, though, so
okay.
Yeah, which either makes it doubly bad or, well, he'll understand, kind of understands the assignment, understands the DNA of the building, whatever.
I hope not, because they've been 14 years without a playoff. Whatever the DNA of the building is, I do not want that as part of the 2025 Jets.
He was actually on the team when they were good, but for some brief periods, but... can't do the Bill Parcells impersonation. That's what I always worry about. I worry about that with guys who try to do a Bill Belichick impersonation. Belichick's coaching tree, you know, was never able to catch on. And I think a lot of guys tried to be Belichick and the rest of the team was like, this is eyewash. You are not him. And Belichick maybe was doing a little Parcells because that's the same tree. You can't do the Parcells impersonation. Just be you. That would be my advice.
I'm sorry. Like, I'm looking, they have 23 and 24-year-old tackles who are drafted in the top 10. Like, this is actually about Fields, that offensive line. Can they establish a run game and can they win with defense? I expect a conservative team who probably eke out a surprise. I think they go over on their win.
I do too.
Which is, I've seen also 6.5 and 5.5, and 6.5 was juiced closer to 5.5. So I think they're, because they won with Zach Wilson.
Yeah,
that's the thing about this team. They
won
win.
7 games with Zach Wilson.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's a surprise 7 or 8 win season. And I think that Fields is the guy for a while in New York. But I don't think he's like the next, you know, great Jets quarterback. But I think he's the guy for a while.
Well, a while. You think
a couple years.
So he's getting, they can easily get out of him. But here's the thing. If they win 7 games and they're sitting at, say, 10 or 11 in the draft, it looks like it's going to be a heavy quarterback draft next year. 4 or 5 guys in the first round.
I think they do not draft quarterback.
You know, this is the thing with the Jets. They passed on Mahomes and Watson. I don't know if fans are going to be thrilled about that.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And I want to be consistent here. I thought that the Steelers should have kept Justin Fields. So,
well, they made him an offer, right?
Yeah, but like an invitation.
I mean... You sure, though? I don't know where Justin Fields was taking that team. They did not look impressive when he was there. They were winning games like 13-10. I did not feel that. There was no upside in Pittsburgh. I think there's more upside here in New York. There's some young talent around there. There's a lot of hope. The Steelers, where was he going with the Steelers? To 10-7 town for infinity.
888-710-4ISN. EJ, you want to quickly weigh in here? You're excited.
I am, yeah. I mean, I think this is the chance to see if there's a young quarterback who... Maybe, you know, on his third stop, like we've seen with other teams where Geno Smith, ironically, a lot of Jet quarterback, Sam Darnold.
These guys. All your Jets cast offs.
Yeah, ironically. But you hope that maybe this is okay, new start, new team, coach that believes in him, offensive line that is developing but looks like it's talented. Maybe this is the right spot for him, even if it's not necessarily him becoming a superstar quarterback. Maybe he could become a winner, which is really all the Jets want.
Can you put up the poll question? Will Justin Fields have a more successful stint in New York than Aaron Rodgers? Yes.
Well, our frequent guest of the show, Quincy Avery, his quarterback trainer, works with Justin, has been flying out to New York. He said one thing. He kind of implied that Justin Fields is much more comfortable in this offense than Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh, I mean, let's face it, that offense was kind of screwed up last year. It wasn't him. I feel like this is actually a much healthier offensive situation than Pittsburgh last year. So I'm with you guys. I'm bullish on Justin Fields.
Tonight we have technically a football game. We got the Hall of Fame game. It's the Chargers and the Lions, and Trey Lance is going to be starting for the Chargers. You remember him, of course. He was the third overall pick for San Francisco just a few years ago, then a stop with the Dallas Cowboys as a third-string quarterback, now third-string with the Chargers. We're asking, do you think of Trey Lance as a bust? Scott is in San Francisco. Scott, what do you think?
Hey, thank you for having me on. I appreciate that. I have to disagree with the previous take that you guys had on Trey Lance. I can empathize that he did not have as much college experience as he should have, but if you look at what the Niners gave up to move up in the draft,
yep,
to grab Trey Lance, instead of drafting a cornerback, which is a major reason we'd lost the Super Bowl 2 years prior, I just don't understand the decision. And when you look at the film, it just shows that he could not progress through his reads and make the decisions for a Kyle Shanahan offense. So, unfortunately, he's a bust. Now, I wish him nothing but the best. But if you look at what the Niners had going into that season, Jimmy G was playing some of the best ball that he had played in his career post the Trey Lance injury. And they were a formidable team. They made it to the championship game with a very similar quarterback. I just don't know how you could look at it any other way.
Yeah, Scott, I mean, it was the two first-round picks, the third-round pick. It was a boatload to get to Trey Lance. And, you know, I don't know the flawed part about it. I actually blame the 49ers way more than the player because Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch were clearly never on the same page about who they actually wanted. It was, you know, Trey Lance or was it Mac Jones? Yeah. Which, by the way, it's not like Mac Jones has become, you know, some superstar either.
Yeah, I mean, he's there now. We'll see if he gets in. You know what? I knew Trey Lance was in trouble. He threw a fastball no matter where it was. Kyle Juszczyk was open about 4 feet from the line of scrimmage, and Trey Lance threw a ball that almost went right through his chest. It was so freaking fast.
Yeah.
So Trey Lance, obviously, he's just one of those quarterbacks with a gigantic arm who could never, kind of like Anthony Richardson, could not do the five-yard pass. And that's the key to Kyle Shanahan's offense. So you're right. I'm not sure what the thinking was, but I've seen worse busts. That's all I'll say.
I'm sorry. I left out another first-round pick there, so apologies. This was the 2021 first-round pick was like the flip, the trading back with the Dolphins, the 2022 first-round pick, and the 2023 first-round pick, along with the 2022 third-round pick. It was a king's ransom.
But I'll tell you one thing. This might be a hot take. They definitely would have gone to the playoffs with Trey Lance if he hadn't got hurt that year. Like, definitely. Because their defense was incredible. They had Bosa and Warner at their utter peaks, and Trey Lance would have run the ball. They would have been fine. They would have probably been 11-6.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about the 49ers and Trey Lance because Lance is starting the Hall of Fame game tonight for the Chargers, his third team. But he's deep in the depth chart there. I want to say I understand the philosophy of what the 49ers were thinking, right? They were thinking the offense that they were running had become too well-known around the league. There were so many Shanahan assistants and so many people who were running that type of offense had gotten hired all these different places in the NFL, and they thought the defenses were catching up to it. So what do they do? Well, we got to get a mobile quarterback now to kind of evolve this offense and make it something that the rest of the league, you know, that will take them by storm. And they try to do this a little bit with RG3 with Mike Shanahan, right, when Kyle was an assistant. I get the logic being a couple steps ahead, but their own building wasn't in lockstep. Because if you want Mac Jones, and some people want Mac Jones, and some people want Trey Lance, well, then you don't know your you-know-what from your elbow, because those are two wildly different players.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, what does the Niners do best? They run the ball and play defense. So you're telling me Trey Lance couldn't have just handed the ball to whoever was there at the time? Because Jimmy G took over, and what do you think of Jimmy G? Jimmy
Injured.
G was awesome.
Jimmy,
no, but I mean, come on. I think a lot of people think Jimmy G saw the clip
balls
where he gets people killed. Like, yeah. Jimmy G's not well thought of, and he won a ton of games. And I sometimes wonder, is Brock Purdy that good too? I think Trey Lance would have ironically been absolutely mediocre in San Francisco and kept that team afloat.
Jamie is in Dallas, Texas, wants to talk about the Cowboys. Hi, Jamie. How are you?
Good morning. I'll sprinkle this in since Trey Lance just left here.
Yeah.
And then I'll move on. Look, the deeper conversation here is, when you talked about the King's Ransom, you just mentioned that they gave up. If you look at the amount of defensive talent that just left the building in San Francisco, and you think about how that they have built that over the draft in the last 15, 20 years, or going back to Harbaugh, whatever, Trent Baalke, the fact is that they don't have depth and they have a dearth of high-end talent because of what they did with that Trey Lance trade, and they're not headed in the right direction. Obviously, I poo-poo on all things 49ers.
Yeah.
But I'll just move on, and then I'll say this on Trey Lance. Trey Lance had the poor timing as well as COVID situation. If Trey Lance is into college football today, he's an early riser and he surprises at North Dakota, wherever, and he transfers and maybe goes to SEC or Big Ten school,
right,
and we find out what he is much sooner. Okay. Now, with that being said, I just pivot to the Cowboys. You guys are looking over the overall quarterback situation. I think that this is a possibly career defining year for Dak Prescott. This contract's going nowhere.
Yeah.
He's going to play out this contract in Dallas Cowboys. You can't trade it. It is what it is. But just like there became a point where, despite Romo's entertainment, despite his talent, despite his, you know, how much people liked him here, there was just a resignation on the,
on the fans. Yeah, he's not the guy. He's never going to win.
He wasn't going to win on that level, and I don't think it was fair. But with Dak, I think it's becoming pretty clear. If he is not able to elevate average or above average talent, you know, around him, then it's going to be defined by that, and he's going to just be a really good player, and that's it. And I just think that how he responds to that, and, you know, he said things about the money. It's not about the money. I'd give up all this money if I could just win.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time. All I hear is LeBron opting in and then saying he wants to win at the same time.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway, you guys have a great morning.
Jamie, thank you. It's great. It's so easy to say it's not about the money once you've gotten the money.
Yeah.
Oh, this? Oh, that contract? I'd play for free. No,
and by the way, Dak,
wouldn't.
Who would take any commercial that ever came anywhere near his way.
Well, can't blame him for that.
Yeah, I just think it is about the money.
How about this as a fun fact?
Yeah.
So we're talking about all the...
Here we go!
All the draft picks that the 49ers gave up for Trey Lance, right, to trade up.
Yep.
Do you know, so that 12th pick in the 2021 draft, the first round pick, they traded with the Dolphins to go from 12 to 1.
And the Dolphins traded that up for Waddle, right?
No.
That
pick got traded three more times. So that 12th pick in the 2021 NFL draft started with the 49ers, went to the Dolphins, went to your Eagles, before finally being sent to the Cowboys, and guess who was taken with it?
Micah.
Micah Parsons.
And we got Devonta.
Yep.
But I do think in that the Dolphins trade from 12 to 6 to get Jalen Waddle. Right?
Oh, that, yes, yeah. They took Waddle in that draft. But what happened to that draft pick? And if you just pull the thread on
amazing.
That, it ends
but,
up being Micah Parsons.
But let me tell you one thing, though, about what Jamie said. I think the Niners' problem was coaching. I think once Ryan's and Saleh left, and you know why I think that Bisala came here this offseason? It's like, these guys stink, and cut half the D-line immediately. I wonder, they had a ton of talent on defense, and they just started to really lose it. I don't know. I'm not sure I disagree that that's a talent issue. I think it's a coaching issue.
We're asking today, when you think of Trey Lance, do you think he's a bust? He's going to be suiting up for the Chargers tonight in the Hall of Fame game. Coming up, ladies and gentlemen, we have a champion. The Maggie and Perloff greatest nickname in sports history has crowned just one. 64 came, one man's holding the crown. We'll tell you who it is next, M&P.
Nicknames were entered, but only one will win. It's Maggie and Perloff's search for the greatest nickname in sports.
All right, back on Maggie and Perloff show. This is reminding me of the 1981 North Carolina Tar Heels. Michael Jordan in the biggest spot possible. The Final Four, like he was in college. Can he come through? How are we going to do this, Maggie? The finals, Air Jordan, Michael Jordan versus a great one, Wayne Gretzky, a heavy, heavyweight battle. 1980s nicknames and 90s in the house. What do you got?
I mean, it could only come down to this, right? I mean, greatest nickname of all time, I didn't think would go to, like, just greatest athlete, maybe, of all time.
Makes some sense, though. That's the way people viewed it. I mean, again, I kind of looked at it that way.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to tell me that Air Jordan is a greater nickname than Pillsbury Throwboy, R.I.P. Jared Lorenzen. I'm going to have beef with you, but it kind of turned into people could not separate the nickname from the athlete, from the greatness, if you will. So it was the two number one seeds, bracket of 64, Air Jordan versus the great one, and America and Canada and all over this great world and great globe of ours, you decided.
Michael, it's game time. Get your Hanes on, lace up your Nikes, grab your Wheaties and your Gatorade. We'll pick up a Big Mac on the way to the ballpark.
Could it be any other, Pearl? Michael Jordan, Air Jordan, wins the greatest nickname in sports bracket. 54% to the great one, Wayne Gretzky's 46%. It's MJ all the way.
Was that Wayne Knight? Is that what we introduced her from Spaceship?
Seinfeld, but yes.
It became personal with me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All the great Michael Jordan highlights, that's what we had.
It's not the most clever nickname of all time, but it does feel like the greatest nickname of all time because it was kind of a movement. We played the clip yesterday of how they came up for it. I mean, there's a reason that Jordan Brand is still making billions of dollars a year, like, it's just the greatest.
Yep. So Air Jordan is the winner. You know, to be honest, I do not think this is the greatest nickname in sports. And it's not. It's definitely not. First of all, we call him MJ more than anything. We already decided that we don't like just the initials. You know, KD, CP3, PG13. We already kind of said that we didn't love those. And it's more MJ. I don't think anyone calls him Air Jordan to his face. His airness may even be cooler than that.
So where would you have knocked him out?
The great one is way better. And the fact of the matter
is... Why is the great one? There's not very anything that
clever. I love
that.
The fact of the matter is, too, and let's do a little... Not that I expect everyone to know the backstories on all this thing, but, you know, Michael Jordan's agent came up with the great one. Great David Falk, if you're into sports business, he's a legend. But it's a marketing thing. Wayne Gretzky got the title, the nickname, when he was 12. Like, somebody really saw him skating at 12 years old and said, that's the next guy at 12. It's a better nickname. The great one is better than Air Jordan.
I think you could easily argue the great one is the least creative nickname of all time. Hey, what do we call this guy? He's amazing. What's his name? Let's play off it. How about the great one? Like, what is that?
What did you want? The main Wayne?
I just saying, like, the great one is too easy. Like, it's not even thinking here. It's literally the most obvious nickname in this entire list. Like, we just talked last time about Agent Zero. That's cool. The answer, half man, half, what's it?
Amazing.
Half amazing. Like, there's nothing about the great one. But I disagree. I think Air Jordan, for me, I was voting him. I knew from the second we started this that was going to win. It was a number one seed. I actually did not know the great one would beat out so many people. I thought that was vulnerable. Air Jordan, I did, by the way, we talk about this a lot on the show, a little left turn.
Yeah.
I did rewatch the movie Air.
Oh, the Ben Affleck vehicle? Yeah.
And it's pretty good.
We liked it that day. We went to the premiere.
I forgot. There was a scene that is actually, I saw on social media that made me want to rewatch where Matt Damon's explaining how he knew Michael Jordan was so awesome. It was the jump shot that I talked about earlier in the segment, North Carolina freshman year, that they went right to him and said a worthy. It just shows how special this guy is. So I feel like the nickname Air Jordan is caught up in that period of time that revolutionized not just basketball, but marketing of athletes. Like, everything we do now is because of the years 1985 to 1988 when Nike discovered they have the greatest athlete on the planet. And that's what Air Jordan symbolizes.
All right. I mean, nice soapbox there, Shakespeare, but I don't know.
Wow.
I would do Magic Johnson and also, like, you know, how about Hick from French Lick? We didn't even have that.
Larry Legend?
I just think that there are way better, like, actual nicknames. And, you know, it was Air Jordan going back to the very first round here, a 1 versus 16 matchup. I think people like White Chocolate is kind of a more fun sort of nickname. That was Jason Williams, who clearly didn't have any one millionth of the career of Jordan. Yeah. But that's really fun. You know, Dr. Duncanstein, like, that's creative and fun. Air Jordan, fine. Congrats, David Falk.
You know, we had people vote on this, so people clearly did like Air Jordan.
I'm going against America here.
She's also on the selection committee.
I
was very involved.
Yeah. You're like, people like White Chocolate more. Actually, scientifically, they don't, Maggie.
Maybe just me.
But it is funny that we did this nickname bracket. You're right. They definitely picked the greatest players. Like, Greg Bambino went really far. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no third string shooting guards that made it here.
No, as I said, like, Pillsbury Throwboy, you know, couldn't even get past the Diesel. But Shaq Diesel is a great nickname, so that's fine.
But if we think about it, though, like, aren't the greatest players, those nicknames are going to be said and used more in theory than just like the Pillsbury Throwboy for a guy who's like a journeyman?
Yeah.
Like, even if the nickname is greater, it's not in our lexicon as much. So maybe in one sense, it doesn't make it greater because we're not talking about it as much or using it as much. I mean, Air Jordan is, we talk about all the time just because of sneakers.
I know, but Mr. Hockey didn't even get out of the first round.
Yeah, talk about uncreative.
Yeah.
Hey, what should we call this guy? I don't know, Mr. Hockey.
He plays hockey.
But we're talking about great players. You're like talking about the greatness and whether it lives on. I mean, Gordie Howe is Mr. Hockey. Everyone knows that. Like the great Bambino. He wasn't as old as a great Bambino, but you know what I mean.
Come on, Michael, it's game time.
Yeah,
get your Hanes on, lace up your Nikes, grab your Wheaties and your Gatorade, we'll pick up a Big Mac on the way to the ballpark.
And again, I honestly think people thought, like, Magic Johnson is no longer a nickname. That's his name. That's a name. It's not a nickname. Like, Andy is not a nickname for Andrew.
I don't know. You're going to tell me Big Poppy is not as good of a nickname as Air Jordan?
I mean, America told us that. That's what Pearl was saying.
But what did the Dominicans, the Republic say?
Dominican lunch.
We voted on X. It's available in the Dominican Republic.
All right, so there you go. Congratulations, Michael Jordan. He never wins anything, so I'm sure he'll be glad to know that he won the greatest nickname in sports bracket.
He would have been terribly upset if he had lost his one.
He
probably put out another documentary about nicknames.
Yeah. I don't want to get Steve Kerr'd. If you know that story, Bogus has headlines.
So the last thing we all need is Perloff being right about something significant. So imagine our shared dread when Shohei Ohtani was taken off the mound after throwing 6 straight balls, including 2 wild pitches to start the 4th inning last night in Cincinnati. Every fear of Ohtani the pitcher ruining Ohtani the hitter was front and center, but Ohtani stayed at DH, the Dodgers blaming the sudden loss of control on cramping in his hip. Manager Dave Roberts.
I don't know how long he's been dealing with it. I know he mentioned to me that the humidity kind of, you know, made his body respond a certain way. I don't know how much it's affected his hitting, though.
Ohtani went 0 for 5 last night, struck out all 4 times he was up on Tuesday, so the hitting, for some reason, has been a struggle the last couple of days. The Dodgers also lost this game last night, long after Ohtani stopped pitching.
Here it is. Swung on, fly ball, well hit, deep center field. Altman going back at the wall, he leaps off his glove. It stays in play. 2 runs are going to score. Steer on his horse to third. The relay throw, not in time.
Spencer Steer, tie-breaking 2-run triple, bottom 8, the Reds winning 5-2. Since he made a minor trade yesterday, getting Pirates third baseman Key Brian Hayes, the big moves came from the Mariners, who were sending 3 prospects to Arizona to reunite with slugging third baseman Eugenio Suarez. The Phillies pluck closer Joan Duran out of Minnesota, and the Mets add Cardinals closer Ryan Helsley and Giants reliever Tyler Rogers. Nothing new this morning, with the trade deadline hitting at 6 Eastern today. Trey Hendrickson back with the Bengals yesterday, ending his holdout, but only watching practice.
What I'm not going to do is, as best as I can, like,
avoid being a distraction. You know, I want to help the guys.
So he's back. He gave in, but he also said that nothing has changed with negotiations.
Okay. I've been saying all summer, we're not going to be patsies in these contract negotiations. We're not going to play into this. But I got to tell you, I don't know how this team and Trey Hendrickson ever get on the same page because he's been so negative about them. He is ripping them left and right day after day. Can he just get his contract and get back in the fold, or is there some damage done here?
Well, this has also been going on for, feels like, 3 years, two years.
Yes.
This is one of the longest contract things. I don't want to say my eyes are glazing over. That's also another part. I'm not saying that Trey Hendrickson doesn't deserve his money, but his age certainly complicates things.
Yep.
And the fact of the matter is, he was fantastic last year, and the Bengals' defense was crap.
Yeah.
So clearly you need more than just him, because he led the league in sacks, and the defense is the reason why they could not be a playoff team.
Yeah, I don't mind if a player is trying to get big money and says something totally hypocritical. Myles Garrett said, I don't want to be in Cleveland anymore because I have no chance to win a Super Bowl. Got $40 million a year. I was like, I'm thrilled to be in Cleveland. But that took 8 days.
Cleveland to Canton, baby.
That took 8 days. Yeah. It feels like this Trey Hendrickson thing has been going on since the day they got to the Super Bowl. You're right. You get a week to be a total hypocrite, but now it's going too far.
Now, he said yesterday that they both agree, him and the team, that he can't play on his current contract.
Okay.
The guaranteed money is the issue, apparently, and the Bengals want to give him like $10, and he wants all of them guaranteed.
Yeah. I heard on ESPN that the Bengals didn't want to give Chase guaranteed money, and eventually Burrow sort of forced their hand to give it to him. But they don't want to pay anybody.
I'm telling you, though, Burrow is like, he's putting his thumb on the scales for who he wants paid. And I think he did that for Chase and for T. Higgins and didn't do it for Hendrickson.
I would hope so.
But who do they actually need? What do they actually need more? I just said that they, you know, Hendrickson had all those sacks and they didn't win jack squat. But I mean, they needed more money for everybody on the defense.
Well, what would you do if you were Joe Burrow? You'd be like, you know, I love throwing to T. Higgins, but I really need a pass rusher? Come on.
Turn Yoshivash into the next T. Higgins. You're Joe Burrow, for goodness sake. The Bengals' defense was crap.
T. Higgins is amazing. If I was Joe Burrow, I would cut off a pinky to keep that guy in the
fold.
He's
not even healthy all the time.
Oh,
he's a great player, though.
He is great. No, you got to also, dude, there's a little bit of chemistry here. You got to support your wide receivers. I mean, you're right. They do need a defensive end, but that's not Joe Burrow's job.
Joe Burrow's.
Remember, though, when we thought the Browns had finally, I mean, the Bengals had finally, with Mike Brown, like, realized how to run an organization
right
this time? And now, that was like 18 months, and now they're right back to being penny pinchers, doing things that nobody else does,
please,
playing hardball for no reason.
Well, they have this smart sort of quasi-GM in Duke Tobin who makes a lot of good draft picks.
Yeah.
But you got to pay the guys at some point.
Yeah, I think that people are like, oh, they built a practice facility. They practice indoors now. It's like, yeah, it's Cincinnati.
Oh, it's 2025.
By the way, I saw camp highlights of Cincinnati. The humidity almost melted the camera there. That is one hot place for the summer.
Shohei almost was crawling off the mound last night in Cincinnati.
And I didn't want to get into it because it's not about us, but are you guys not enjoying this week right now? The humidity level is a 1,000 outside.
A lot of swaz, as they say.
Yeah. I didn't know that word.
This is
better than it being, you know, 10 degrees outside.
Incorrect. This is the worst weather.
No, I am correct.
The worst. I'm with you.
Subtracting disasters, tornadoes, hurricanes, like regular weather conditions, nobody needs 95 and max humidity.
Incorrect.
Nobody.
Wait, Manny, EJ, please, put up a poll question. Would you rather it be 10 degrees or 100?
No,
not tornadoes. Not what I'm talking about, the real stuff that comes along with extreme weather. But
the specific, though, really is the humidity for me. Like, I've been where it's dry heat, and it's not the same thing as being 90 and humid here in New York or the mid. It's awful.
Put 95 humidity in humid instead of 100. I agree with Bogues. Put the humidity, and by the way, not to ruin anyone's day, but there's massive flood watches for later.
I know.
Today,
oh, yeah, big
but,
time.
And on the back end of that, we're supposed to here in this area get like mid to low 80. 80s, no humidity. That's summer. That's all I need. Hot enough to swim.
Yeah. Okay, you realize the rest of the country is like, man up, you weenies.
No, they're having problems too.
There's problems. Yeah. I'm saying if we're just talking about being uncomfortable, not the real life things.
Jacksonville, Florida laughs at us.
Yeah, you guys are talking about just being uncomfortable. Talk to someone who lives in Tucson, Arizona.
Well, Tucson's a dry heat.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
right.
Fine.
It doesn't feel like an oven?
No, but I saw Jacksonville, Florida yesterday. It felt like 118.
Yeah.
Florida
is
a humid place.
And Travis Hunter has to play both sides of the ball.
It's a tropical place.
Yeah.
It's Florida.
Travis Hunter has to play both sides of the ball in that humidity.
Can you imagine? Ugh.
He's from Florida. Oh, he's from Georgia. Whatever. Same.
That's the thing. You get used to it. You get used to it. Maggie, you're failing your job, by the way.
I'm failing?
Yeah. Most of your job is to make sure Perloff doesn't get the conversation steered towards weather and traffic. And we've
hit
both topics today.
I know. You sad dad. I mean, it's just like, the water cooler? Is there like a fence between us that I can also ask to borrow your like hedge trimmer or something?
Well, I feel like I'm getting away with something whenever I can steer the conversation towards the weather. And you would just let me go there today.
Perloff's like, here's 15 dad jokes in a row.
Oh.
Who's down for some weather talk? Man, this weather, huh?
Hey, that's how humans talk about. Like, I'm having so many hair issues with the humidity, the frizz.
Tell me about it.
That'd be a good sports nickname, the frizz, but I don't know if anyone has that. The fro, the frizz, the fro. We've got a lot of it. I always think it's funny when we get into deep conversations about traffic around here and EJ doesn't drive. He's like, it's a nightmare. I'm like, you don't drive.
No, it's only when I'm driving with Andrea or in the passenger seat.
888-710.
Passenger princess.
ISN. I think maybe you figured some things out. Bogus, thank you. Coming up, NFL and college football superlatives. And this one today feels a little mean. But sometimes we're a little mean. Do that next. The Bengals defense was crap.
This portion of the show is sponsored by the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Going on now. Get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. Don't miss out. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Maggie, I'm nervous about this one. I am nervous about our next assignment here.
All right. Well, we're playing the Space Jam theme because Air Jordan won the greatest nickname in sports bracket. I think that's what Manny was trying to do.
That's a Space Jam theme? I did not know that.
It says Space Jam.
Everybody get up. It's time to slam now. Welcome to the Space Jam.
No, I don't remember that as part of the movie.
Congrats.
It's the first seconds of the movie.
Congrats.
Did that theme take off? Is everyone like, does anyone play the Space Jam theme?
Get to a 90s party, you will.
Oh,
come on, Michael, it's game time.
Who's it by?
Get your Hanes on, lace up your Nikes, grab your Wheaties and your Gatorade. We'll pick up a Big Mac on the way to the bowl.
I actually don't know. No clue.
Oh, yeah.
One hit wonder.
This feels like something that artificial intelligence would have come up with we had it back then.
It was Michael Jordan himself.
I think that's a no-hit wonder, not a one-hit wonder.
Like the studio just came up with
it. It's not Ray Parker Jr.'s Ghostbusters theme. I'm just saying, like, I don't think that that's part of the canon is the Space Jam theme. Anyway, that's besides the point.
To be honest, like, not to do the production meeting on the air, but we did talk about greatest theme songs, both sports and non-sports. You just brought up the Ghostbusters theme.
That a theme song, or that was like a number one song for like?
But it was a theme song for Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that went way beyond the movie.
I mean, that probably a one seed.
It could be.
Who are you gonna call?
I mean, what are we doing? Are we doing this again? On the day we've crowned a champion on the greatest sports nickname of all time, Air Jordan beat out the great one. Are we really just turning the page this quickly to talk about theme songs now as the next bracket, the next like challenge?
Maybe. I mean, if you want to listen or call in 8588, whatever the number is, 8710-4ISN. Let us know if you want to do theme songs.
Welcome to the Space Jam.
You don't put this up there with Jaws, though. Like, that's
also a number one seed, I think.
That's like what? That's one of the most iconic. I think Jaws is even more iconic than Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Wow. Star Wars, Jaws, probably. Are those theme songs or soundtrack?
I think it's more of a theme song.
You would call the Jaws music the theme song?
Feels kind of weird.
That is a good theme song.
Well, Jaws theme song, yeah.
Yeah, because it's not like a theme song. Maybe you think of like the Mickey Mouse Club or something a little happier. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure. Our soundtrack, like, instrumental soundtracks called theme songs.
Right, because is it a score or is it a theme song?
Is it a song? Is it even
question.
A song?
Oh, God. Are we really going to do this?
Space Jam is a song by American music group Quad City DJs.
Oh, they had more than just one hit, I think.
There you go.
They did?
I believe so. I'm going to really need... I think they did Come On, Ride the Train.
Yes, indeed. 1996 hit Come On and Ride It, The Train.
Yeah. I thought they were playing that for Garrett Cole at one point, no?
A rap remix of Barry White's 1974 theme from Brothers Together. Or theme from Together's Brothers. That's not English.
I think Quad City DJs as a couple hits. Anyway, Air Jordan wins this poll. Let's get to superlatives. And today we're doing something that's kind of mean. And we're being open and honest that this is not an this is not happy-go-lucky. It just seems a little mean-spirited. We're asking who is the worst coach in the NFL.
This crap is crap.
Pearl, you want me to go first?
Yeah, go first, because I don't want to call out one of our, you know, what if we have this guy on in a couple of weeks? If they aren't bad, as you we are saying now, then we'll feel terrible. But go ahead.
Well, it's Brian Daboll. I don't know what to say. Here's the thing. This is a hard assignment because, to be honest, the NFL has gotten rid of and a lot of the whipping boy kind of coaches that we used to make fun of a lot. Mike McCarthy was one of them. Matt Eberflus was obviously a target for a lot of people. Robert Saleh didn't have a lot of fans by the end. But I think Daboll has got to be the worst head coach in the league right now. I mean, his record, and I don't think quarterbacks, you know, wins aren't a quarterback stat, but wins are definitely a coaching stat. And his record with the Giants is 18-32-1. I mean, that stinks. He has no double-digit winning records. They made the playoffs that first year with a 9-17. But when you make the playoffs in your first year, is that like someone else's guys and you're coaching up a different team? So,
but could you argue that he is way better than the people that preceded him? Like, the bar was so low in New York that he's...
Congrats, he's you're better than Lombardi. Joe Judge. Oh, gosh.
It was Judge and McAdoo, and it just, it was bad.
I don't like the segment.
Who do you have?
So, I am going to go with Brian Callahan. There's a bit of a TBD element here, but they had one of the worst offenses in the league, and he is just supposed to be an offensive guy. Made it terrible. He really, I know he pulled Will Levis, but should have done it almost immediately. And then, you know, the team wasn't that bad last year. They should not have been a team, talent-wise, that was 3-14 and had the number one overall pick. I thought he underperformed coming into Tennessee, especially coming off the Vrabel era. I think this guy has a lot to prove. He easily could have been a one-and-done last year. I don't know if the question is he the worst guy? He's the guy I have the least faith in because he showed the least out of any returning head coach.
So I think it's a little bit different than who's going to be the first coach fired, which I've very, in a funny way, predicted that would be Nick Sirianni last year, and he won the Super Bowl. So maybe this is, if I say this guy, maybe it means all the best things are coming your way. I think Mike McDaniel is actually going to be the first coach fired, but I don't think he's the worst coach in the league. If you gave me Daboll versus McDaniel, I might take McDaniel over him.
Yeah, I feel like Miami, like if the weather's warm and Tua's healthy, like
look out.
Bring on the W's. I saw a report the other day that Tua has a ball hasn't hit the ground in 6 days in Dolphins camp. Tua's like at 100% accuracy. I don't know if that's true, but the injuries on defense are terrifying. That's what I really worry about. Miami has been snake bitten health-wise. So I don't think that gives McDaniels a pass, but it looks like their offense is clicking, as they say. And again, it's warm. You said, we were talking about this yesterday. What is Tua's biggest weakness besides health? He can't play in the cold weather. Hey, that's in December. They'll fall apart later, Maggie. I think he survives. He survives until the second half of the season.
Yeah, that's not... First coach fired maybe shouldn't be the bet. For a college coach, this is a little bit harder, and he's been on this show, so I don't really want to blow him up too badly, but I was just looking at just the win-loss record for Mike Locksley. Hasn't been great.
Oh, yeah.
But really appreciated him coming on the show. He was 2-26 when he was at New Mexico, so that's really hard. And then at Maryland, he's been 33-41. He's been there for 7 years.
But I feel like for some reason, I don't know why, he doesn't count. Like, because he's very well respected despite that record.
Yeah. And didn't he just get an interview with the...
The Jets.
The Jets.
Yeah.
You ever figure out how he nabbed that?
Well, he's part of like the Saban family. Like Saban loves him, right? Or Belichick, and he's got a Belichick connection too.
Mm. Yeah, I would have accepted Dan Lanning over Mike Locksley if it was me. We're trying to find a Saban guy.
Yeah. But. Oh, yeah. He's got Navy in his back. I'm trying to figure out why is he tied to Belichick.
But
Saban.
Dan Lanning's one of the best college coaches.
That's what I'm saying. I would have took him as a Jets coach over Mike Locksley.
Oh yeah. Well,
could trying to find a Saban guy.
All right. Well, that was kind of mean, but we did it. Coming up, what's Joe Burrow talking about? Welcome to the Space Jam.